So same question in terms of management of myelofibrosis. Again, any myths or misperceptions or things that people could do better?
So I think a couple of things. One is to think of transplant as a viable option for patients with higher risk myelofibrosis. We do think of it more in AML, MDS, but less in myelofibrosis. So if patients have higher risk features, and the risk features in myelofibrosis are clinical most of the time. So if the patients are having leukocytosis, anemia, constitutional symptoms, those are patients that are going to be automatically an intermediate two or high risk with a median survival of less than 3 years. So if the patients are on the younger side, we probably should be thinking of transplant, which is a curative strategy in almost half of those patients. I think we also have to think of the optimal patients for using ruxolitinib, because we still see patients that their main symptom or predominantly they are cytopenic, and ruxolitinib or JAK2 inhibitors are used for those patients. And obviously, the main side effects for those patients are anemia. I like to put the patients in almost like two or three groups, one that are predominantly cytopenic, anemia, thrombocytopenia. Those are not the ideal candidates for JAK2 inhibitors. A group that their predominant symptoms are constitutional, with splenomegaly, drenching night sweats, weight loss, those patients are the ideal candidates for JAK2 inhibitors. Then there is a patient that have combination of both of those that becomes more challenging to treat. If patients have evidence of accelerated disease with increased blast, those patients may benefit from hypomethylating agent.